Morning. Appreciate Brother Irv leading that song. I asked him to lead that song right before I talk. And when we look at things like that, troublesome times are here. I don't know if it's age or the times, but when I was young, singing that song, I never really thought much about troublesome times. I think it was my age, but they are here. You know, all of us have had some difficult days in our lives. And we have challenges, aggravating days, and a lot of them here lately, this seems like we've been going through. A lot of us have health concerns, galore health concerns, not glorious, bunches of them. Family members die, we have personal things, we have cancers, we have PET scans and MRIs looking for things that we don't know what's going wrong, and we all suffer from these. We have worldwide health concerns, food shortages. We don't have enough doctors. We don't have enough medicines for the world as things are going by. We have wars and threats of wars going on at this present time. The Ukraine and Russian war is in full-blown, let's kill each other. Israel and Palestine, from time to time, are off and killing each other and fighting with each other. And Palestine shooting rockets over the border at Israel almost constantly. Assyria is still assassinating their own citizens. Things are not going well there. Then we have China and Thailand and the threat that China may take over Thailand and what's going to happen. We have Russian ships, we have U.S. Warplanes and U.S. ships flying in the off the coast of Thailand to show our power and hopefully back them up. So are we headed to war with China? We have threats of recessions. We have economic scares. Prices are going up. Some of us not sure how we're going to do things. You're on a fixed income, and boy, things are really not looking good. Our southern border here in the United States is not secure. We literally have millions of people, undocumented people, coming across our borders, and we really don't know who they are, where they come from, what are their intentions. And we don't seem to have a government that cares whether we're going to secure the border or not. We have all kinds of national politics, state politics, local politics, and elections that are coming, and nobody can get along. They're all arguing about everything that's going on. We have all kinds of problems. This morning, while I was watching the news, thinking about coming here, we have another secretary in the administrations that they're threatening to arrest and charging with crimes. People want Secretary Mayorkas kicked out of office because of the southern border and things that he is or is not doing. We have problems with our own, and then we can't decide what kind of laws we want to be governed by. A lot of people thought after 27, 30 plus years, when the Roe versus Wade was finally overturned, things were looking good. And now it's just doubled down, and it's getting worse. Half the country wants the right to kill babies. Half the country doesn't want it going on. We're arguing all the time over concerns about abortion issues, debates over sexual transitioning. I mean, who would have ever thought that we were wanting people to decide, I can change what I am, and you can't do anything about it? In fact, you need to help me do this and accept it. And if you don't, we will make it hard on you. All of us have workplace drama, difficult coworkers, overbearing bosses, impossible expectations from company executives. And this is just the short list of the aggravations and problems we have. Happy Mother's Day. Our fears and our concerns, our troubles, our anxieties, our depressions are not new to the history of man. I mean, if you really want to see somebody who's got a bad day, we're reminded of the life that Job lived. And one day in Job's life, a servant comes in to him and tells him that his oxen and donkeys that are doing his work for him and making his money have been stolen by the Sabines. Not only did they steal them all, they killed the servants that were doing his work for him. Before that servant could finish talking, Another servant came in and said, "Fire from heaven has come down and devoured all the sheep and the servants that are tending to the sheep." Before that servant got through talking, another one came in and says, "His camels were stolen and all his servants murdered by three bands of the Chaldeans. His sons and his daughters were having a family get together. He must have been proud of them. They wanted to be together. They worked. Things were good." And while he was listening to others, a servant comes in and says, "A great wind struck the four corners of the house where they were, and they're all dead." Now that is a bad day. How do you deal with that? How do you come back? Well, of course, the entire book of Job is his reactions to that and why it happened and his conversations with God. I guess what I'm trying to say, it's not sinful to have fears, to have concerns, to have troubles, anxieties, and for us to be depressed from time to time. But how do we handle it? I mean, if you think about it, even Jesus Christ's heart was troubled every once in a while. If you look at John 11th chapter, verse 33, Lazarus has died. He's one of his good friends, and he comes to his family. And in verse 33, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping," talking about Lazarus' sisters, "and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." There are things here that concern us and hurt. In John 12, verse 27, Jesus is praying in the garden. He knows his crucifixion is coming. And he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." He was troubled. I mean, who wouldn't be if they knew exactly what was fixing to happen to him? And it wasn't their fault. In John 13, verse 21, during the Last Supper, when he is giving the Lord's Supper, "When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.'" One of his apostles, one of the people that are close to him, he knows is going to betray him, and he is troubled. But then we're also told, let not your heart be troubled. Did I skip a page? Okay. So how should we deal with troublesome times? Let's take a look at John 14. In John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And in verse 1 through 3, he tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So why is it important that Jesus Christ wants us to be with him? In verses 7 through 11, he talks about the Father, and the Father is revealed in him, in Jesus Christ. In verses 12 through 14, he talks about he answers prayers. God answers prayers. In verses 15 through 18, Jesus promises that when he is gone, the Comforter will come. And that is the Holy Spirit. He would comfort his disciples. He would comfort the apostles. He would help them and give us truth. In verses 19 through 24, Jesus tells us that he and the Father are one. They're united. And he says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments and his truths. And then in verse 25 through 31, he gives us the gift of peace, tells us about peace. In verse 27 in John 14, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus basically is telling us that we are in control. There are horrible things that are going to happen to us on this earth. We do not choose. But Christ tells us, let not your heart be troubled, and it is a choice that we make. It doesn't mean that we can control things. We must be careful and not buy into the I am a victim mentality that especially seems to be pervasive in this country at this time. We are not victims. Troubles will come, but they don't have to trouble us or control us. We have to accept our part in reality, that it is a choice. We can't stand around and say, it's not my fault. Sometimes we have fault in it. But Jesus wants us not to be troubled. If you think about it, look at the most innocent among us, the little babies, the little kids, the little toddlers. When we see a small child and they get scared, when they get hurt, what do? They're not taught what to do, but they know by instinct. By instinct, they run to mom or dad. And who are mom and dad for them? They're their authority figures. They are their protectors. They are their providers. That's where life is for a small child. And it's instinctive. Go find them. They'll fix it. They'll help me. They will comfort me. So my question to all of us is, when did we lose that instinctive thought? How old do we have to get before we don't think about the authority figures, the providers, the defenders are here for us? So who is our protector? Who is our provider? And who is our authority figures when we're grown? If it's instinctive for a child, why is it not instinctive for us as Christians to go running to God, to go running to the scriptures that is His communication to us, when we want to cry and we want to scream that we're hurt and things are not fair? When did we lose that? A few observations of the things we've talked about. First, living a life without troubles and being totally carefree, to be comfortable, to be prosperous, to be happy in all ways, things are the way you want it, is a pipe dream. It doesn't happen. So if we know that, we need to prepare ourselves for when things are troublesome. That life isn't possible, it won't happen, and we should not expect it to be that way. Second, if we have choices when we have problems come our way, we have the choice to either let them destroy us, destroy what we're doing and our progress, make us miserable, or we can decide to grow from those experiences. We can look to those who are defenders, our providers, and our protectors the way that God asks us to do. Third, another real quick look. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, we're told that we can pray and not lose heart as we are taught with the parable of the persistent widow. Y'all remember the parable of the persistent widow, right? We really don't have time to read it all. But there's a widow that goes to a king and says, defend me, help me. I'm in the right. Scripture tells us he was not God-fearing. He didn't care. She was not important to him. He ignored her. But she kept on and kept on and kept on. In verse 1 it says, then he spoke this parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Then he tells them about the persistent widow. And the king finally says, I will give her what she wants because I don't want her bothering me anymore. I don't even fear God, but I'm going to help this person out so they'll leave me alone. But then in verse 7, what does Christ say? He says, and shall God not avenge his own? His own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. God is there for us, is he who we are seeking when we are in trouble. He continues to say in verse 7, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Will he find those who know who their protectors are, who their providers are, who the authority figures are, and are they going to them for strength and help? Where is our faith today? Are we strong? Are we sharing it? Are we helping others grow and helping ourselves grow? Do we cry out to God day and night? Do we pray to him? Our Father is persistent and he is ready to help us. We need to continue to pray and not lose heart. Thank you.